Signs of the Southland, Monday, March 18th, 2024. Jack, you're back from Austin. You're back from South by Southwest. How was it? How was being around the weirdest place in the United States?
One, definitely not the weirdest place in the United States. Two, it's a blast. It's an absolute blast. There's a lot of music festivals out there where you go to music festivals, you want to see all the good bands that you like know and stuff like that. And so, and you get a mix of new stuff and old stuff. At South by, you basically just get young bands who are trying to make it big, and so they play so many sets, and they don't get paid for a lot of them either because they're just trying to get recognition. A lot of them will play 4 or 5 in a day, figure out where they're going to sleep at like 2 a.m. And you just see a lot of young bands just giving it their all the time. And it was extremely good. I have to acknowledge the Athens music scene. I saw bands Hefner and Pylon play, and they were all fantastic. And then ran into the guys from Hotel Fiction, who are also Athens-based, and they are continuing the fantastic tradition of very good Athens music coming out of there, even this well past the Pylon and REM days and stuff like NB52s and all that kind of stuff, which is really cool. Sadly, I didn't get to see any Texas sports. I didn't really have time for that stuff, but kind of takes up your 12 to 12, and I mean 12 a.m. to the next 12 a.m. So that's just how that goes, but absolutely awesome, awesome time out there.
Good to hear. Any other national news that you want to cover before we get into the main show here?
I have one point. As noted, ACC, geez, Missouri Valley stan on this podcast. Indiana State was done a horrible wrong last night in the selection show.
Yes.
Maybe they'll just win the NIT. I don't know. It's a bummer that the NIT doesn't have the auto bids for the regular season champs anymore, but at least they got that. I thought Wake Forest and Pittsburgh were both playing really well, but instead we get a Virginia team that just, I don't know. I saw Tech play them twice. I don't really need to see more of that, you know?
Yeah. I wish the NIT did the thing that the Europa League does, where the winner of that gets into the next year's tournament.
That's just like, so much. I thought you were going to say something different, and I already had my response paired.
No,
but yeah, please continue.
But yeah, like the Europa champion gets into the Champions League the next year in European soccer. It'd be cool if the NIT champ got into the next season's NCAA like main tournament field automatically. That was the one automatic qualifier.
So what I thought you were going to say is that I wish the losers of the round of 16, I think it's the round. No, it's the round of 30. It's like the third place finishers from the group stage of the Champions League drop down to the Europa League. And I was like, what if Jack is about to propose that the round of 32 or the round of 64 losers drop into the NIT? And
so
I was about to be like, no.
No, we
too
don't
much
need
basketball.
That. We don't need to turn. It's already enough of a loser's bracket. Not really a loser's bracket, but that would truly turn it into a loser's bracket. I did want to just mention the fact that the playoff is expanding again in 2026. And just so we could all collectively groan at how dumb this is.
There's just no need.
It's so bad. But I did want to reiterate that, like, the federal government's not going to solve this, but that's kind of our last resort right now. Maybe some antitrust violations if it gets that bad. But like calling your senator in general is a good idea. So if it means you need to call them about football, you can do that. There's many things probably more worthwhile calling them about, but this is one thing to also call them about. If you feel like it.
Well, you should omnibus everything into the phone call, you're saying.
They're probably sick of hearing from me about bikes and parks and high speed rail and stuff. Airport infrastructure.
All of these are far more important than basically in every situation than who your football team plays and on what day and in what competition. But that is a thing that they're all these senators and congressmen all went to colleges and stuff like that too. Like they're aware of this stuff. So now I say that I don't know if an SEC or Big Ten graduated senator or congressman's all that incentivized to change anything because they like to win. They like to see their teams win. But just a nice reminder in an election year to call your representatives.
Indeed. Let's move over to Construction Corner real quick. We have some updates for the Edge Athletic Center. Delivered by Athletic Director Jay Batt in his latest letter to the fandom.
Yes, so they're if you've been on campus in the last like week and a half, 2 weeks, they've like put up the fencing basically around the whole building part of the Edge building right now. So you can't even walk on those sidewalks. Cowley Plaza is basically completely taken up between the usual football members that park there or other athletic staff, and now there's just a bunch of construction equipment getting ready to go. So that's going to start like actively getting worked on very, very soon. It's spring break when we're recording right now, so I believe they've really started to get to work today. But when y'all are here for the spring game, that area is basically going to be not usable. They're turning it into a one-way street. This is critical. Techwood Drive will be a one-way, I believe, coming. Oh, I forgot what direction is going to be the one way. I think
I think
it's
it's
well, it's
southbound. Or
50-50, my guy.
no,
Pick
it's northbound, right?
one.
Because it's the side further from the stadium, and there's a southbound leg on Williams or whatever the street is named with the exit ramp past Britain on the east side there. So I assume southbound is Williams and northbound is Techwood, right?
Yeah, that
That
sounds
would
right.
make sense to me
That sounds
because
right.
you have an
So
opportunity to turn around at the
this is
dorms.
me
Right.
flying by the seat of my pants on that
That's
one.
it's
I
a
read it and then I immediately forgot it.
it's
So
fine. It just yeah, that basically just if you can avoid driving on Techwood between North Ave, just in general, that's probably gonna be the way to go unless you're coming in on
you
15.
shouldn't be driving on campus is generally the
No. And
recommendation.
they're
You
trying to
should be
put
biking, right, Jake?
Yes, you should. And the new lanes on Fourth look great. The
Oh yes,
protected
that is true.
lanes.
Yeah.
They did a great job with the space they had. They're a little narrower, I think, than typical, but doesn't matter quite as much because it's not a as wide of a road, you know, probably not as much traffic, but I'm very eager to see what First Drive does. Georgia Tech is definitely helping set a standard for Atlanta in terms of that. And I don't know. I saw a note about the chiller plant going down for a couple of days, but I don't know how much of an effect that has on most of us in terms of other stuff going on.
I
So
don't know. I will
it's a
note.
capital problem, and then we need to talk about it. We need to ask deeper questions about why the plant is going down. I don't have a good segue from this bit. Someone
Well,
please save me.
there's one note from Jay Batt's letter. He basically spent the last half of it like it's his updates, like, oh, basketball's doing this, baseball's doing that, all the great stuff. But he did. There's only one sentence that's in bold in this entire letter, and it's to donate to the Tech Way. So they are very much actively saying, hey fans, if you're going to help out, go here. The AT fund obviously is great, but I think they're seeing that there's a big push that's going to be needed for the Tech Way to especially to retain some basketball players, because Damon Stoudamire is basically running that like a franchise, like manages contracts and stuff like that, unless it's a student athlete thing, just because of how completely gone to from normalcy that whole industry is right now. So if that's how you feel about where if you want to put your money anywhere, Tech is asking for it to go to the Tech Way at the moment.
I don't really feel compelled to toe the party line here, but there is something to be said about outrage or outsourcing your donation to be cobbled together by us regular Joes. I don't know. It
Yeah.
just it's tough every time I see that. It's like I'd love to, but I cannot, you
Yeah,
know,
no,
or I'm limited in how much I can, I think is a better
right.
way to put
Yeah,
it, but.
it's an interesting question. It's a different. Yeah, it's not a straight obvious answer for a lot of folks. I mean, in general, tech graduates do pretty well in their careers and stuff like that. So, I mean, of any fan base, we certainly are ones that would have some disposable income at our sides. But this isn't the thing you have to donate to. If you want to, you can. But that's their current situation. And you want to go back to our last summer episode where we talked with Tony Altidore about our finances? That'll give you a sense of like maybe why they're asking for a lot of money from their fans right now. We go into the debt problem and all that kind of stuff there. But I think it's like episode, I don't know, 140 something. I gotta know at this point.
Yeah,
It
it's
was a while
somewhere
ago.
in there. We also
Friend of the
did
program.
a we also did like a 30-minute hit on the transfer portal and NIL in a previous episode that I just had to cut because it got so far afield that I think at some point we're going to have to do an episode probably over this summer where we just get all of our thoughts on the state of college athletics now.
Yeah.
Because I think what we've mentioned here about playoff expansion and antitrust and the NCAA and NIL and transfer, all of these things are all interrelated. I will say if you want to learn more and be informed on these issues. This is not an ad. I'm doing this out of the goodness of my heart, and also because he's a very good writer. Matt Brown has done a really, really, really good job of covering all of this, and you should
Oh, yeah.
absolutely subscribe to his newsletter, Extra Points, and support his work in any way you can. Gentlemen, shall we get to the meat and potatoes of this week on the flats?
Sure.
Sports, sports.
Sports. Let's start with the ACC tournament. It was back in, I think it was in DC. It's weird. I don't know. The next couple are going to be all in North Carolina and their spiritual home of Greensboro, if I remember correctly. It's either Greensboro or Charlotte, but this one was in DC. Tech's ACC tournament ended early with a first round loss to Notre Dame, an 84 to 80 loss. Tech was down at one point, I believe, by 17 points and came back to take the lead with approximately 3.5 minutes remaining. And then it just sort of fell apart in the last 2.5 minutes. Tech couldn't put together a scoring possession, so it just is what it is. Jack, I know you got to watch this one and have some points on it, but the last thing that I'll say about this game is that I think we've said this before. Actually, we say this every time that men's basketball has a game versus Notre Dame. These two teams don't play normal basketball games. They've never played a single one, not ever since Notre Dame joined this conference. But I'll give you the floor to say your piece here.
Yeah, somehow the one like 2.5 hour gap I had in Texas was squarely around the hours of this game, so that was very fortunate. I was surprised how far down we fell, but then as soon as we started making our run in the second half, it's like, oh, here comes the classic Notre Dame game again. It's all coming into form. We basically spent the 8 minute gap between the 12 minute and 4 minute mark getting back from that 17 point deficit. We only had a 1 point lead at most, sadly. And we didn't score in the final couple and a half minutes when we just needed one bucket to at least force the issue and could not pull it off. But by Ndaga and Nathan George did, I think, what you'd really want them to do. They both scored 20 plus points in their minutes on the floor. Nathan George played all but 50 seconds in the game. Ndaga played 35 minutes. Kyle Sermon played 31 off the bench. Kouassi's not had many good runs in the last few games, sadly, down the stretch. That wasn't so. We'll see how that plays out next year. Debo's got some time, but only made one bucket. And Miles, this was not a good Miles game. 1 of 7 from three. They needed him. He had been. It came out before the game that he had been dealing with back issues. He'd just been basically playing through it, and I think he was just muscling out this game. He was definitely not healthy by the time this game rolled around, but healthy enough to play in a do or die game. But I think my big takeaway here, less than the fact that we lost another weird one to Notre Dame, is that our two best players performed as you would want them to perform in a do or die game in a playoff atmosphere, which is good to see going into next year, where theoretically they'll still both be with the team. I think, yeah, absolutely, the plan is to build around them. So I think that's the big thing I think we have to take away from this. The rest, who the heck knows what this roster looks like next year? We know who we have, the recruits we have coming in, but the rest of the supporting cast, I have no idea. But we just know these two guys, they did the work. And they're going to be important for us next year.
Yeah, makes sense.
Not much more to say on this one. This is kind of the end of the season at this point. Obviously, Tech finished 14 and 19, so no postseason for them. The final note that I have on men's basketball is that somehow Scottie Pippen's son is interested in Georgia Tech, or he was here recently on a visit. So keep that in your back pocket as something to keep an eye out on. I have no idea how good he is. I just like the idea of an NBA, a former NBA star, just getting all of his friends' sons to play on his team, because that seems like a fun thing to do.
I mean,
Akshay, we already did this bit like 3 months ago when Patrick Ewing and the gang were on campus for volleyball.
this is
Oh, I do
true.
remember that.
We
I do
couldn't get
remember that.
Ewing's daughter, but yeah.
Look, if there's a will, there's a way. Except if there's a Will Wade, then he coaches at McNeese instead. I will be asking you the same question about the women's bracket when we get there. So keep that in mind. I think that's later in the show. For now, let's move on to talk about softball. Their week was rough, to say the least. No, that is not an intentional pun. They lost 6-3 in Athens and then lost the series, the home series to Notre Dame this weekend, 1-2. Two close losses in that series in games 2 and 3. That is a 6-3 decision on Saturday, excuse me, and a 6-5 decision on Sunday. In that 6-3 game, Tech brought Chandler Dennis back in to close with the game on the line, and she ended up giving up a 3-run home run to really seal that one for Notre Dame after Tech clawed back into it. Jack, you were keeping an eye on some of these. What you got for me?
I think it just in general, taking the scope of the season, we were probably due for a little bit of a rut with how well good our streak has been. I think they were feeling that against the in that first game against North Carolina State and just barely got away with the sweep after game one. So I'm like, I'm not pressing any panic buttons that, oh no, we were winning 15, 16 games in a row and then we go 2-2. Georgia's very good. That the late comeback we made there didn't get all the way there, but at great to see this whole team has kind of been built on late comebacks too, either in terms of walking off to run rule or literally walking off from behind. So they got they're discovering that's their tendency, I think. But I mean, Madison Dobbins' home run in game one, I tweeted that I watched the video 30 times, and that was not an exaggeration. I watched that video 30 times because that was I think I said that was the most badass swing I've ever seen a Tech hitter hit in my limited years watching Tech. She hit that ball 290 feet. That is a softball that she hit. I really wish I was there to see it because I wonder if that hit O'Keefe. Like, that actually might be far enough to hit the building. And 81 off the bat, which is insane for softball. Like, insane. Beyond that is, yeah, pitching still is not all the way there. I mean, allowing 6 runs usually should win us games because we're really good at hitting. But this was not the weekend where we were able to string all the hits together. So I think we're still, in terms of progress, totally still fine. Hitting wise, Madison Dobbins and Mallory Black both had 11 homers, the best in the ACC. Black leads the ACC in RBIs, total bases, and slugging. Sarah Beth Allen is 22nd in the country in on base percentage because she's been hit 8 times. Ella Edgman's been hit 8 times also as well. So they're finding ways to the last big note I have is they're still finding like multiple ways to win. They've run rule teams. They've come from behind. They've had some good pitching performances where they're not getting there. Haven't there hasn't been like a disaster pitching game where we allow a gobsmacking amount of runs since we got back from Clearwater, which I think is a good thing to see. That Georgia game very well could have been like 10-3 last year instead of the 6-3 that it was. So does that all track? Does that
Well,
do you think?
it was much worse than 6-3 last year, I'll tell
It
you, or
was.
10 to
Yeah,
three last year.
I remember that. I remember that.
That was not that fun. But this year, I'd say definitely more fun. I think it kind of played out as prognosticated, right? I mean, Jack, you were out traveling the world last week, but it was kind of like I want to quote what we said more precisely than this, but I don't really have a way to do that. I believe it was something along the lines of a 1 to 3 week can still be fine. It's just a matter of how those one and three looks. And this is about as, gosh, this is going to sound like I'm, making excuses or whatever. This is about as good of a 1 and 3 week as you could get. Two close losses to a team that's been consistently tournament quality, plus a 6-3 loss on the road. And yes, it did take the third time around the lineup to, I think, figure out, UGA pitching. Lily Bacchus had a great little run there to start things off, but I mean, once Shelby Walters came in and kind of slammed the door there, that's what happens when you face a top 10 team. You need to get a little lucky in addition to being good, and they just didn't string anything together the first couple times around. And I think in terms of Notre Dame, you hit the nail on the head with all those, but I really do want to reiterate that it's a pretty tournament quality team there. I think Sunday was a little bit disappointing just because they led most of the game, but I guess you could also call it back and forth because the running the scores kind of came in bunches. I don't know. I think it's a week that is the it's the low end of pretty good. I still have them slightly out. I believe they're in the first four out of the numbers if they decide to finish actually rerunning since I pushed some updates. But at least the last time I ran it earlier today, they were in the first four out. So.
Also, Edgman made a pretty critical error in center field on Sunday that let another run come in. So there was some defensive miscues for sure. For it. And like defense, they were showing some numbers on the telecast. Like since 2021, and even including this year, like we've been near the tops in the ACC in defense. We have some very skilled gloves out there, but they just it didn't fall the right way this time. Which yeah, can is such. I forgot. I was gonna make a point. I forgot. At least a note on the pitching. It's Kinsey Norton and Sophia Voyles. I think they said they were the 1-2, but they are definitely the 1-2 right now in terms of all the stat lines across the board. But we're still splitting time very evenly between them two, and then Blake Nelson and Chandler Dennis all have between 40 and 43 innings pitched this season. So the pitching by committee thing is very much happening and very balanced when it's all said and done.
My only point on that is that all four of them are either even or outperforming their FIP in terms of ERA. So keep an eye out on that. We talked last week about how FIP and ERA are related. Basically, FIP considers, it does not consider, excuse me, the result of the ball in play. It just factors in that the ball was put in play. Blake Nelliman is right around her FIP. Sophia Voyles is still outperforming hers by a run. Chandler Dennis is outperforming hers by a run. Kinsey Norton is outperforming hers by a run and a half. So some of this is overperformance, and I think the sample size is small enough to say, okay, like maybe it's fine for now. But it's not like these are ecstatic or like exemplary pitching performances that they're overperforming to. They're performing, they're overperforming to merely average instead of awful. So it's a precarious place to be, I think, from a defensive standpoint. And I think that kind of shows out in some of softball stat lines numbers as well. They're one of our, like a friend of the program, if you will, and they have Tech at an offensive rank now of 14th, down from, I think, fifth last week. But that defensive rank 168th, which I imagine is more or less powered entirely by pitching.
Oh
So,
And I will say they're currently parked right at a 54th in the USI. That's where they're at. I just finished rerunning it. Their strength of schedule's currently 74 in the country, which is pretty solid. But with ACC play turning up here, that number's just going to go up by inherently playing some of the better teams. Most of our ACC teams that we played so far have been pretty low. All that to say, doing a little bit of a look ahead, we are sitting above North Carolina. That's who Tech goes on the road to play. They're actually parked pretty close to Coastal Carolina in my rankings, at least mid 80s on those. So some winnable games coming up, and you know, if you can stack wins, that's basically what drove the 2022 team to a regional. I do have questions about the pitching, but in terms of the offense is there. They make enough plays and in at the plate and in the field to stay in games against quality teams. Notre Dame's a good team. Georgia's a good team. I think it's just a matter of, you know, where do they compete on the margins. I was listening to ACC Network because they had a big slate of softball on Sunday, and they made the point in the Louisville game, and I think the announcers said something similar in the Clemson UNC game. But essentially, you know, yeah, you're playing good teams, but you got to pick up some of those coin flippy ones. I think Illinois and Louisville were pretty close in terms of the metrics, at least before this weekend. And you know, North Carolina, they're kind of falling down a little bit here. They had been, you know, I guess early on, kind of right in that mix, kind of where Tech's been. But yeah, it's getting the coin flippy stuff, and you know, going on the road and winning a series or taking some games here, I think would do a lot for Georgia Tech this week.
I remember what I was going to say. Actually, I think we were talking about how we were close in all three of these games. We were close in all four of these games, for that matter. And so I wanted to go back and just see how many games were we like squarely not in, like just completely lopsided and didn't have a shot. I am only counting three of the 29 games this year that we were like squarely just had did not have a chance at winning. The second game against Bama, which is only a 5-1 loss, but end of the week, but that we were not going to beat that team. the Stanford game where we lost 17 or 15 to 7, and then the Northwestern game where we lost 19 to 6. And that's it. That's it. Otherwise, we're putting up 6 runs a game. At least we've won, like, we beat North Carolina State with 4 at one point. And yeah, these games, this would be the lowest. This is the lowest scoring stretch we've had in a while. 3-7, 3-5. There's usually a 10 spot somewhere in there in a 4-game stretch we put up recently. Granted, opponents not as strong, but still.
And that's the tough part, I think, in particular about not getting like that Minnesota game in Clearwater. But
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
there's a lot of games left. Like, you know, we get series against some pretty competitive ACC teams here. If they can keep their head above water and, you know, play themselves off that first opening round in the ACC tournament, like that's better than we've seen of late. You know, not just
Absolutely.
being in the top 10, but top, I think, what is it, six? Get those byes in the tournament. If you're top six in the ACC, I think, and I'm going to look at it right now. I'm going to pull how many ACC teams I have in my projected regionals. I believe it's six, two, three, four. Actually, I lied. It's only five. But you know, top five, top six. That's a good spot to be for the ACC, and I think that'll do Tech a lot of good if they can kind of stay right in that margin there.
All in all, this team is fine. Like, capital F,
No.
fine. We'll see how this week shakes out. I think that series versus UNC, like you said, is going to be telling. But Tuesday they'll go. I think this is a tournament situation, so they'll go play Charleston Southern on Tuesday. Wednesday will be versus Coastal Carolina, and the weekend will be in Chapel Hill versus UNC. Anything else before we move on to talk about baseball?
I've wanted to write about this offense, so I'm going to. I sat down with the hitting coach Hunter Bunch before I left for Austin and transcribed the interview while I was there, and I'm gonna get some more details soon, but I'm gonna have a whole thing a thing about the offense because the transition is notable. And so I wanted to give them some space to explain, hey, what'd you do? Why is this good? And so that hopefully by the end of this week I'll have that piece out for you.
Sounds good. And speaking of offense, let's talk about the baseball team. A 3-0 sweep of NC State in which they scored, oh God, so many runs. Drew Burris is still good. I know everyone was concerned about that, but let me tell you for a fact, he's still very good. Peyton Green had an excellent weekend versus one of his former teams. Still some trouble on the mound, as is tradition, but Tech is leading the Coastal. The ACC Coastal right now, so can't complain a whole lot about this weekend.
I have an alarming thing I just discovered. I noted that I finished rerunning all my stats and whatnot. I want you guys to guess where the USI has Georgia Tech because it almost makes me think I broke math.
74.
70 something.
They're at 77 in RPI right now. They were at 160-ish, I think, last week. And I had them in the USI last week at 142. This sweep of NC State put them at 18 in my model.
What?
That's
Like I said, I think I
why?
broke math. I don't believe that for a
Sample
second.
size.
It was a great weekend, but I don't know if it was improved by
And to clarify,
120 spots.
for everybody, this is your like aggregated tool of all the various rankings and stuff like that, right? That kind of spits out a
No, this is the
no,
tournament
different one.
selection.
Okay.
Yeah. No, we're not at an aggregate of 18 across all the polls.
Well,
We'd have to be in polls. Yeah.
clarify what you're saying here by
Yeah.
USI puts
So
us at 18.
I have a tool that basically selects regionals for volleyball, softball, and baseball. It's how I prognosticate whether a team is tournament quality, essentially, during the year. It doesn't always go 100%, but usually it gets all but one pick right at the end of the year. I calibrate it based on the selection day results, not in including tournament results or, you know, just how they figure during the year. And based on those optimal parameters, Georgia Tech is currently sitting at 18th in the country. That is helped a decent amount by all the peripherals that they have. They are very strong, i.e., something and O in a lot of the just beat the bad teams type categories. So that does help them a lot. They are also, you know, currently undefeated in conference play, which also helps them out a decent amount. But yeah, I think that's a testament to how early in the year it is, and that you can't write this any team off only a month. I get, yeah, it's really only a month in the year. What is it? Five weekends type deal? Like, yeah, we heard a lot of people sounding the alarm, kind of me included, after the UGA series. Hey, there's things they need to work out, but NC State's a good team. They're a very solid team, and these numbers will normalize as Tech, you know, plays more conference games and whatnot. Their strength of schedule is 201st in the country, which is better than third to worst, which they were last week. But you know, it's something that I think speaks to the fact that hey, like they're currently leading the Coastal, right? This is a team that they're not dead yet. They got a lot of season left to run with.
I'll add that NC State in Division One baseball's poll was 13th heading into this week,
Yes.
so that's doing a lot of heavy lifting there as
Yep.
well, I imagine. Tech, this was Tech's ACC opening weekend, so leading the Coastal is leading at 3-0. Virginia Tech has played six games. I think everyone else in the Coastal has played six games, actually. Virginia
Yeah.
Tech is right behind them at 5-1. So keep some of that in mind, and I think, like you said, the sample size is key here because it's just
It's yeah, it's a lot of sample size right there. But at the same time, peripherals do get helped by the strength of the ACC in general, of which Clemson and Florida State currently sit 1 and 2 in my model, and I believe eight ACC teams in the top 20. That's a pretty good spot to be.
Duke, Wake Forest, Clemson, NC State, North Carolina, Virginia, and that's it. That's the D1 baseball top 25. All the ACC teams in there, so you're getting a lot of push from the top end. It's just how does Tech push it themselves into that top end? That's the next step for them. Just to talk about their schedule over this coming week, they will be at Georgia State in Panthersville on Tuesday. So today, when you hear this, and then at the weekend, like we said, a series at number 20 UNC. Are both of these teams at UNC? That feels like we misprinted something.
Nope,
Didn't we
but discuss this when we were prepping?
we
I
did,
feel
and
like we
this
had this
is
conversation.
they are both going to be there. This is the
Yeah.
full-fledged GT versus UNC weekend.
It's also pretty worthwhile to note that North Carolina is off to a rip-roaring start in baseball this year. So, you know, this is going to be another one of those weekends that I would say tells us a lot about this team.
Sounds good to me. More on tennis, swim and dive at the NCAAs, and track and field and golf after this short break.
As always, this podcast is brought to you by Section103.com. Section 103 is the best place to find Georgia Tech apparel. Drew Burris jerseys are in. Support him, Georgia Tech baseball, and show your love for number 8 by checking those out. You can find that at Section103.com. Use code FTRS to support not just Section 103, but tell them we sent you as well. As always, this fine podcast is brought to us by those folks, and you can find them at Section103.com and at Section103 on Twitter.
Welcome back to Signs of the Southland for Monday, March 18th. Let's go over to Ken Byers Tennis Complex. Men's tennis had a three-match set this weekend, one standalone match, excuse me, versus Clemson, and then a doubleheader versus Boston College and the Citadel. All three wins. Nice, neat, and easy. 6-2 versus Clemson, 6-1 versus Boston College, and 7-0 versus Citadel. A challenge that, especially in the last fixture, a challenge that some football coaches found very difficult. Anything that we would want to discuss from these three fixtures, gentlemen?
You had to go and bring him up. This is a safe space. We're talking about men's tennis, Akshay.
It's the Citadel. What did you think I was going to say?
I don't know. We beat him in volleyball in the tournament a couple of years ago. That was more fun.
Sure did. That was true.
Yeah,
That was a rowdy environment, but tennis-wise, how did the Citadel play versus men's tennis?
not good. Not good.
Very simply put. Very
I
simply
mean,
put.
we don't really need to dwell on that one too much. It wouldn't be very nice to the Citadel, I think.
Nope, that's fine. They came, glad they got the match in.
Yeah.
The Boston College match also quite good. Clemson was good too, as well. Beat them 4-2, 4-3, 4-2, something like that. We scored four. Boston College, Martin and Chopra won pretty resoundingly. McDaniel won, Bedegiotti won. Right, we won all the singles. We won all the singles. That's just how it went down. We lost doubles, but we won all the singles. And pretty convincingly, Sachdev was the only one to go to three sets in his singles match, but he won the th third set 6-1. And then Richard Bedegiotti didn't have to finish the second set. He was up 5-4 at the time. You know? So, yeah, we looked very good for the, what are we ranked right now? 30, 30, 30, 30,
32.
32nd ranked team in the country. So a little bit of a drop there, but came back, put the beat down on the teams we're supposed to put the beat down on. And we got some tough opponents after that.
Real-time follow-up, Tech actually beat Clemson 4-2, but I just want to
Okay.
make sure I got
There you go.
that correction in there. Jake, you have a con.
Yeah, I was going to say Clemson's by far the best program of the three of those. Beating them 4-2 is pretty solid, and you can't really complain about that. The other two, they did take care of business, and at the end of the day, taking care of business, it gets you exactly where you need to go towards the end of the year. I do want to pull up rankings because I do believe we have last week's rankings in there. Gents, you can correct me if I am wrong, but I'll have that pulled up here in
The next
just a
rankings don't
sec.
come out until the 19th, so
Really? They
yeah.
skipped a
This
week?
is what we
That's
get for
weird.
doing this podcast on Mondays
I
instead of
know.
like
Yeah. Yeah, I checked this before we got on, and I was just like, oh man, we should have done this tomorrow. Actually, no, I think we should do this right now. We should.
Yeah.
This was a great idea, but I guess.
We're
This is great
geniuses. There we go.
podcasting. Fantastic podcasting. Talking about the future fixtures on the list here. Thursday, Tech will host number 13 FSU, and then Saturday, Miami will come up to Atlanta. That's a number 59 Miami there. First serve for Florida State is at 1:30 on Thursday, and 11 a.m. on Saturday. Actually, those are in 2 weeks. So actually, the team takes this week off
Oh,
now
wow.
that I look
Spring
at the
break.
calendar.
They get
Oh,
spring
that's.
break. There they
Oh, that's.
go.
Hey, that's nice. Are they in Tunisia? Do you think they went back?
They had
Bit
such a
far for
great time
spring
the
break
last
in
time around.
it. Bit far for spring break in it. Bit
Yeah,
far.
maybe.
I don't know. I got friends in China though, this week.
Dang.
Yeah.
That's quite the trip.
I know. I know.
That is definitely far. I'm not sure. That would not be my preferred choice for a spring break trip. That sounds like a lot of flying.
Just a quick jaunt, as they say.
Oh, yeah.
Speaking of long trips to places we don't want to be, Athens was where the Zone B diving championships were. Max Fowler and Anna Bratiscu have qualified for NCAAs, so good for them. Anna placed 15th in the 1 meter dive, fifth in the platform to win her NCAA cut. And Max placed fifth in the 1 meter dive and first in the 3 meter dive for his NCAA cut. So again, congrats to them. Jake, you have any notes on this one?
Yeah, the women will be headed back to Athens for NCAAs. That's this week, the 20th through the 23rd.
Oh no.
Sabine Brisson qualified in the 100 and 200 breaststroke. So keep an eye out for four entries in Athens. The men's NCAA have also been announced. We're sending several athletes. It looks like the 800 and 400 free relays both made it through.
Oh, good.
In addition to noted Max Fowler having two entries, Burke Saka got the 2IM, Leandro Odorici, 100 breast, Mert Killavuz in his trademark mile, and then Batur Unlu in the 200 free. So a decent number there. I'd be interested to see how those relays stack up in the final psych sheet. But the men have another week. They start the 27th. We'll probably do a little bit more of a dive since they've got. I believe what does that make it? Eight entries in 4 days? That's pretty decent for Tech.
Pretty good. Pretty good. Let's move on to the swimming of the track, that being track and field. Let's talk about the
What?
yellow jacket invite to open up
What?
the outdoor season. I needed a segue and I used one.
Oh
Don't
my
make fun of
God.
me. Yellow
I don't know if
jacket
it was a good
invite.
one, but
You don't come here for
anyways.
good podcasting content. You come here for content.
We're the
That's a
option.
promise. That's a promise. Yellow jacket invite. Talk to me, Jake.
Pretty pretty good weekend overall. It was pretty lively around campus Saturday morning when I was out and about. Tech did get a couple of top finishes, top five in both the 4x4 women and men's relay. A couple other podium type finishes, third in the triple jump. That would be John Watkins, first in the 4x1. That's great to see. Again, relays. I think I talk in any sport where there is a relay, i.e. track, indoor, outdoor, or swimming, that the relays are where you get your points and bank those. So great to see them, holding off the field there. Of course, it is Tech's home meet. It's not necessarily ACC's or NCAA regionals or anything like that, but pretty solid of a round. There's a bunch of second places that I have not even been able to list all of them out, but yeah, I'm big relay guy. Maybe that's my bias as a swimmer there, and Tech did collect quite a bit of hardware. Oh, I did want to note Helena Lindsay did finish first in the 1500 meter, so roughly a mile, and Lydia Troop first in the 400 hurdles. Oh yeah, Jameson Miller too in 400 hurdles. So a lot of firsts. I mean, it's like I said, it's not the ACC's, but that's not a bad spot to be. If you're finishing first, speed is speed, right?
Good stuff. And I agree. Speed is indeed speed. Next up for track and field, they'll be at the Florida State Relays on the 21st of March. So that's in 3 days coming up. Here, let's slip over to golf real quick. We're still in progress at the Linger Longer Invitational in Eatonton at the Great Waters Golf Course. Currently, they are in fifth. They slipped back there from fourth today. Hiroshi Tai leads the team with a pair of 68s on the weekend. He's tied for second overall in the field. Tech as a team is 21 strokes back of Bama, who's in first at 37 under
Woof. It's
on the
insane.
weekend.
It's
It is
insane.
it's a steep gradient between first and fifth, let me tell you. Right behind Tech in the rankings is Kennesaw State, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
So a lot of Georgia flair there for a tournament held in Georgia.
I have some good news. I don't think we've said this on the podcast yet. Golfstat had previously provided a great just numerical ranking of all the teams in the sport, and for a while I thought we were down to just the coaches poll in terms of determining where the heck we're at in the country, but Scoreboard, brought to us by Clipped, does have a power rank of all the teams in the country background, and they currently have Tech sitting at 14th. Pretty solid place to be, but just wanted to share the good news that we're not just relying on the coaches poll for our national ranks, which is definitely something that I prefer. So
Yeah,
good
coaches
to
have us at
see that.
11 right now, which is not our best. I look at the they have some more ingrained some more specific stats for this tournament, which is enlightening to why we're so far down yet playing pretty well. We have the second most birdies in two rounds. We have 47. Bama has only 52. But the thing is that Bama is 17 under on par fours, and we're four under. Everyone else is over par. This team is shooting par fours like nobody's business, and not hitting bogeys, and we're hitting too many bogeys. So to get more advanced in that, Hiroshi Tai is doing great though. He's the best on the par fours and on the par threes right now. But generally, every Bama guy is just having their week right now, and it's killing everybody else. And so that's why we're not winning by a lot. Georgia is also doing pretty well, but yeah, Bama's killing everybody on the part on the short holes. So maybe they're iron gods. Are they iron and wedge gods? Is that what we're finding out about this team?
I
Depends
have who won the Iron Bowl this
no
year.
idea. Oh my gosh.
Don't no don't no not that game. God
You're gonna trigger
damn
Jack.
no.
What have you done?
AJ McCarron was literally at Bobby Dodd when that happened.
Really?
Yeah, he was
Wait,
broadcasting the
what?
Georgia game.
Ah, I forgot about that. I was like,
Yeah, for a
huh?
second there, I was very confused.
Yeah.
Anyway, back on topic. Linger Longer final round is tomorrow, today, when you hear this. So next week, we'll be able to talk about the tournament in its full result glory. I did miss this in our shot sheet. Women's basketball accepted an invite to the WBIT. And if you need a primer on the WBIT, I have kind of one. It's a NCAA sponsored version of the WNIT, which, fun fact, is a owned and operated by a different organization that's not the NCAA. If I remember correctly, the main difference between the two outside of the ownership situation is that travel expenses are comped for the WBIT, whereas for the WNIT, they are not, and teams have to play their own way. Also, another difference is that it's a 32-team field. I'm not sure I mentioned that earlier. So keep that all in mind. In the description that I read for this event, it came out of one of the recommendations that the NCAA got from its panel on gender equity across all of its sports. So it's a good thing that it exists, but this is the first year of competition, so we will see what the competitive level is looking like. They'll play Mississippi State in the round of 32. Tech is 1-4 all-timers in Mississippi State. This will be their first meeting since 07.
And that game's going to be on ESPN Plus, so this is not like
Yes,
big
that
time
is
ESPN
also,
stuff.
yeah, this is all on ESPN Plus, if I
Yeah,
remember correctly.
first and second round, the first through quarterfinals are all at campuses. Then Brecken on the bottom right there. So we're playing Starkville against Mississippi State to start. And then the Final Four is at Hinkle Fieldhouse at Butler, which is where the last time the men had a postseason game was there. So that'd be fun if they got there. There is one
Now
other
I'm
ACC
sad
team.
about that.
I
Dang it.
know. I it was it was kind of a fun game to be there, nonetheless.
What a glass case of emotions this episode has been so
I
far.
know. I know.
Yes.
Virginia is the other ACC team in the mix. They're on the same side of our bracket. They're playing at Villanova. They're one of the one seeds. And then the have we have a shot at a regular season rematch if by some miracle both us and Florida make the championship. They're on opposite sides, so that could happen. But other teams, it's Washington's here, James Madison's another one seed, Washington State's another one seed, Penn State's another one seed. So there you gets it, it's a good mix of some good schools here. I think your most like out there name would be like Missouri State or Cleveland State, Belmont
This
maybe.
feels like an entire field of teams that like are very similar to Georgia Tech, which makes it interesting, I'd say. But it's kind of how we saw them sit right at that, what was that, like 50 to 70 range in the country type slot all year.
I was describing a friend of mine, my friend Will Fuss, who's been on this podcast before, who I was at the Technique with. He was asking about it, and I basically described it as like it's all those teams that like are just below being able to like to count on to beat basically anybody. Like you never know if they could upset a team. Virginia is the only 500 team in this tournament. There are 15 and 15. Everybody else is above 500. BYU is also 16 and 16. So yeah, there's like some power fives that are like that probably just, oh, sorry, Illinois is 14 and 15. So there's some power fives that just got conferenced by their big time conference and then everybody else. So, okay, I do want to note this. Georgetown, of course, earlier this year, they played the season without their head coach and Georgia Tech's former defensive coordinator, associate head coach, Tasha Fuentes, because she passed away sadly from her cancer run, and they went on a fantastic season. They finished 22-11, and they're going to be in this tournament playing at Washington. So I think as Tech people, if we don't win, if to see Georgetown do well in this tournament would be truly amazing because Georgetown had they were playing for their coach that they never got to play for this year, and it sucked a lot. So seeing them make some sort of postseason run would be absolutely tug on the heartstrings kind of thing.
On
I
top of
totally
that,
agree.
too, they nearly won the Big East. They
They were
were in
so
that
close. They were
championship game,
so
if I
close.
remember correctly.
Yeah, they made a miracle run there. So yeah, I hope the right fairy dust is on them.
Agreed. Agreed. A couple other updates from the flats as well. Women's tennis was off this week. They'll be back versus FSU and Miami away with the men at home. I believe that's in 2 weeks as well, as everyone is on spring break. Club lacrosse was bumped down to eighth in the country after two losses last week, but they bounced back with a gritty win over Arizona State, 10-9 at home this weekend. They'll be back in action after spring break on the 30th of March versus number 9 South Carolina. Gentlemen, any other news and notes from around the flats that we need to get to?
Can't say I have any.
Think we did it. We did it again.
Good. We have podcasted. We have covered everything around the flats. Thank you, Jack and Jake, for joining me tonight. Jake, where can the people find us?
Yes, as always, you can find us at fromtherumbleseat.com. You can email us fromtherumbleseat@gmail.com. Summer's coming up. We have teased a couple deep dives that we're going to do, but we always do want to hear from you for helping shape what we do in the season and out of it. You can find us on Twitter as well at FTRS blog. I'm at Jake Grant 98. Jack is at Jack Nicholas. You can find Section 103 there as well at Section 103 or Section103.com. Use code FTRS. Tell them we sent you. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube at From the Rumble Seat. And you can find this podcast wherever fine podcasts are sold. As always, please tell your friends, folks that might appreciate what we do here. We really do appreciate the support. And in the meantime, till we speak next week, good night, good luck, and go Jackets.